Awesome, awesome. Well, welcome once again to our family time midweek. We want you to take this serious as what we're trying to do together is grow together as a family. Amen. And discuss what God expects of us as a family.
Yeah.
And what we expect from one another. And today what we're going to talk about is commitment. Commitment and servitude. What does God expect from us? And what do we expect from one another? Let's go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be reading out of the Message version. But before we do that, let's have a little bit of a discussion here. Brothers, when you hear the word commitment, when you hear the word commitment, what comes to mind? Yes, JC.
My favorite word.
Okay, loyalty comes to mind. Yes, Richard.
A phrase comes to mind, like, let me think about that.
Let me think about that, okay. All right, Jamel? Huh?
Seeing it through to the end.
Seeing it through to the end. All right, my sisters, when you think about commitment, what do you think about? Yes, Sean?
Michael Patterson.
Michael Patterson. Hey, man. Anybody else? Sisters, yes.
Not giving up.
Good. You know that term commitment has some weight to it, doesn't it? Has some weight to it. Any married men understand the weight that comes with the word commitment, right? Married men?
Yeah.
But we're already in it. So really, it's probably the ones who are dating and or engaged right now. You probably are thinking more about the weight of that word than we are, because we're already doing it, right, Dr. Jackson? I mean, hey. In this society, has commitment, is that a value that is held up, or is it something that has gone by the wayside? Why would you say that? Gone by the wayside. Yes, Sean.
I don't know. I think it depends. When we talk about sports, we're committed to the Falcons.
We're all Falcons fans. Everybody's going to give me 2 weeks of Falcons fans. Everybody going to jump on the bandwagon. So sports teams, people understand commitment. I mean, those athletes, they give it all they got. I mean, they're committed, right? Okay. Anybody else? Come on in. I know there's a chair right here. Is there any other chairs available? I know the brothers in. Yeah, there's one over here too if you want. Yes, Richard.
Wait, the question was, has it fallen by the wayside?
Yeah.
I think yes. When you consider it in different areas, I think we live in like a gray area society. So like no one has to commit. So like this is like the era of like side chick, side dude. You know, like it's fun to like cheat, it's fun to lie, it's fun to like back out and like play. It's not fun for me, but you know,
society,
right? It just seems like that's the thing to do now. Like, don't be too committed to anything,
mm-hmm.
You know, keep your options open,
yeah.
Try this, try that, and like more fluidity in a lot of different areas,
yeah.
So,
yeah, I know for me, I was I didn't want to make. Growing up, especially in college, people would ask me, hey, you want to do this, you want to do that? I said, I'll think about it. So are you going to come? Probably. And I really wanted a way out. I didn't want to give my word because I really wanted a way out. Because if the time came and I was tired, I wanted to be able to say, I'm going to stay here and sleep. And so there's a certain selfishness that comes with the lack of commitment. Now, let me ask you this. What does it mean to be committed to the church, to the body of Christ, to the local congregation? What does that mean? Yes, JC.
To make it a priority, dang it.
Okay, to make it a priority. Okay, don't cuss tonight. We're going to be all right. Yes, come.
Last week, what are we doing outside of the church? That's how we committed.
Okay, what we're doing outside the church, what do you mean by that?
Anybody can come here and, like, just learn. So, but, like, how are we taking it outside?
the church commands. I mean, this is the church.
Okay.
We fellowship all the time, so I'm committed to what's inside of us. I'm committed to our spirit, you know, which is to tell everybody about this fellowship and to bring it to them.
Okay. And be committed to one another even outside of the church. Okay. Yep, Antonio.
Commitment, like relationship, like in a relationship, there needs to be communication in order for it to be a relationship or a connection. So, like the body, you can't be, no man is an island. You can't be amputated from the body. You gotta stay connected with fellowship.
Okay, fellowship through communication. We should be communicating with one another. Okay. Yep. Any sisters? I'm just gonna wait on y'all. I mean, you also know that by now. Yes, Jordan, what do you have to share? I will call on you, sister. Everybody's going to give tonight, okay? Everybody's gonna give. Yes, Jordan.
Thank you for calling on me. I think it means treating it. I think for me, it's almost thinking of it as family,
okay.
Like the same relationships that I have with my family, because my family is very close to me. So
mm-hmm.
If I'm committed to the church the same way, you know, I'm loving them as if they were my blood, I think about that.
Okay, so what type of commitment or like, what is the unsaid or maybe set expectations that you have in your family? Yeah, Daphne?
I mean, I would think no matter if things are wrong or right, like no matter if you're in the midst of hardships or not, like I think about with my family, if my family does something wrong to me, I'm not going to be like, well, I'm going to stop being committed to you. Like there's a sense of loyalty there. And I think
so we don't cut family off?
Yeah, I mean,
I've had family do some stuff to me that I don't cut them off.
Right. Yeah.
Hardships, like I go through it with them, and I think that's part of me being committed to them. So it's not just you're committed when it's happy times, you're also committed when it's hard times too.
Okay, yep. Sonia, did you have something? Did I see your hand up?
Yeah, I was going to share loyalty as well, and being trusting of each other, being there for each other, outside the church as well as, you know, inside the church, having those relationships of people that you can count on.
So outside the church as in like
in your personal life.
So outside the church as in the body of the church or as in the building of the church?
The building.
Okay. So outside the building or the meetings when we meet together. Okay. Let me ask you this. Why do we come to church? Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, I think Jordan said something that we may need to revisit because we call this whole series family time.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us come from very dysfunctional families.
Right.
Right.
Some of us don't even like our family.
That's
true. And I think when we say, you know, we're family, it brings up a lot of feelings
mm-hmm.
and a lot of different. So I'm glad we're doing this because
yeah.
we need to understand the biblical understanding how God views family.
Right.
This is how we view family.
Right. Because some people cut family members off. You know, so and then what happens if we grow up in a dysfunctional family and we say we're family here, how do we resolve conflict? What? The same way we resolve conflict? In my family. If we were yelling, then we yell. If we just separate each other and we put each other in the doghouse, and that's what we do. So you're absolutely right that we got to understand what God's plan is for the one another relationships in his church. So let me ask you this. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? I know we are the church, but why do we come to the meetings of the body? Keegan.
Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us not give up meeting together as I'm in the habit of doing, but encourage one another as we see the day approaching.
Okay.
As we see the day approaching. So I think we come to the meetings of the body to encourage one another, to give to one another, and to put to really think about each other's needs above ourselves.
Okay. Great. To encourage one another. Yep. Jaleesa, I know you had your hand up.
It was for like the last question.
Stay on the toes, sister. Stay on the toes. What? Why do we come to church? Why do you come to church? Why do you come to the meetings of the body?
Because we're a body and we like each play a part in that, and we can't function by ourselves. And so, like, the brain needs to know what's going on with the heart, and it just matters because that's how you stay alive.
Ooh. I don't know if they caught that, boy. That's deep. Somebody been in her Bible. Yes, Davon.
I think to like recharge and reboot.
And okay.
Turn each other on to go out to the battle.
All right. Good one. You got Griselda?
Because it's a command from God.
Right? It's a command from God. It's in the Bible.
Stay home and rest because that's kind of a rough day. Mm-hmm. God says I need to be here, and you know, and then once I'm here, I get excited, I'm mm-hmm. about all that. But ultimately, I want to please God.
Matthew 6:33. Yeah. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. So that's the is that clear? So if it's that clear, then why do we miss church so much? We miss church because we make it about us.
Yeah. And like we make it about us and what we want and how we feel. And so it shifts completely from that to like,
okay, so how we feel becomes more important than obeying God is what you're telling me. Okay, and what exactly, like comfort or just
all of it.
Okay.
Comfort,
okay. Okay, yep, Melissa. Okay.
And it's not necessarily what putting God or what God wants you to do or His commands first. And then prioritize it. Like, it's not a priority.
Okay,
so other things become priority over.
Like, what are some things that can become priority? I mean, this is God we're talking about, His word. What?
Studying for a test. It's not even something that's like tomorrow morning or something.
Okay.
But it could be school. It could be school. Family. It could be children.
Like what? For families. What is things that we struggle with? To put priority. Yeah, that's definitely. But for parents, what are some of the challenges parents face when we're thinking about we got to get to church?
Getting them kids to church.
Man. You got to get them dressed, calm down, you got to feed them. So what excuse do single people have? You mean if they don't have kids? I mean, single people just got none, boy. Look, somebody. Yes, Sean.
And I think sometimes these days it's easy to be like, I'm gonna skip and watch it on TV, or I'm gonna skip because I was there 2 times this month already and not.
What's wrong with watching it on TV?
If you're sick and you have to stay home because you don't want to start your job,
but don't you go to church to get the message? You can get the message on Facebook Live.
It's not about the message. You just talk about fellowship.
Oh, fellowship. Okay, the spiritual relationship. So you can chat online. There's a lot of fellowship going on in the chat rooms, right?
It's not biblical.
It's the Bible. Hold on. It's not biblical to fellowship online?
It's not
where
we're going to
church
to fellowship.
Okay, yes, Sean.
I just want to say, and I don't think we, first of all, you guys named some good things. It's a command, right? So it's an act of obedience. It's not like, whether I come or go, nobody's going to miss me. It's my obedience to God, right? But also, the members of the body play so many different roles, not just on a Sunday.
Right.
But Sunday, when we come together, you have a different role. It may be with the kids, or it may be to encourage that brother, or it may be, you know, to help that single mom. And those things don't happen sitting home at the bed watching it on television. Mm-hmm. You can't live that out. Live it out.
Amen.
It's about living it out.
Okay, but... But I'm just playing the devil's advocate because I have a lot of friends that feel like, okay, I could get my message on. Who says I have to do all the serving on Sunday morning? Mm-hmm. Why can't I get the message on Sunday watching TV? And then on Monday, I'm going to the community service. What do I need the local church? Why do I need to be there? I can do all the things God asked me to do on my own with different with different groups of people. But why the what I'm trying to say is you can live out. Hypothetically, mm-hmm. I can pray with somebody on Monday. Mm-hmm. Right. I can take communion with somebody on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, what is be devoted to the fellowship. I can have fellowship with other spiritual people, right, throughout the week. So what I'm trying to ask you in this day and age where the culture is so different, what stands out about the local church and being committed to a group like this and still going to the times where we say we're going to meet together? Yeah, Elijah?
Well, speaking from the perspective of a single person, I think... I mean, we already kind of like, we have this independent mentality.
Right.
And a lot of times, well, it's really easy to forget the necessity of church. I mean, well, in this one perspective of like disciples, it's really easy to kind of like, kind of just get sidetracked. I think in the world, there's this stigma of the church that makes like the word church, like it gives it a bad definition.
Okay.
So you invite a single person to church, the first thing that pops up is like those negative stigmas of the church that will conflict with the things that are going on in their life already.
Okay.
To allow them to be a successful, independent person.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So. Good. Yeah, Scott?
See you there. All right.
My question I asked, why is there a need for a local congregation like this when you can get all the things you need to do on your own? Kind of, hey, you get it your way, do it the way you want to do it.
I feel like because, like the Bible says, you know, the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. So you, like, you being by yourself, like he want to get you alone, he want to get you by yourself. I think it's a deception that people have when they be like, oh, I don't need to go to church to be here. I don't need to go to church to do this. Because, I mean, oh, I can hang around spiritual people.
Right.
Like that. But you can't get the word from God. You can't get what, I mean, yeah, you can get it online, but you like y'all was saying, you know, you can't really live it out unless you're in a community. Because if you're not, like, the devil don't get you, like. Like the word says, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
So if you, like, how you know somebody ain't got a word for you or you not, or the Lord hasn't sent somebody to tell you something and you're not there to receive what the Lord has to say.
Yeah.
So you saying, oh, it's all about me and one man is an island, you know, all that, but no.
The devil gonna get you. thank you. Yeah, Lauren, and then we'll move on. Thank you all so much. Lauren, and we'll move on. Yes.
Shh. Getting that sense of belonging to one another really happens when you are together and being in each other's lives. And also, like, Jesus died for the church, so it's a gift from God for us to have the church. Come on.
Amen. Thank you all so much for your input. I think that Lauren hit it on the head. We are fighting an individualistic, selfish culture. Okay, so why do it this way? Well, I think there's something that God wants to be part of a family that we learn when we're united with a group of people moving in the same direction. We're committed to one another. And here's the thing. Under spiritual leadership. Anybody can do what they want to do.
Right.
And spiritual leadership, I'm not talking about, oh, I just let them preach to me. I'm talking about, and that's something that we got to grow in to really understand God's plan for the church. That it is never meant to be, well, everybody just kind of does what they want to do, right? And I'll be at this church for a little while, and then I'll go to that church for a little while, and then I'll go over there. And you know what? I really like this children's ministry over there. So on Sundays, I'll be there. But I like the Bible study on midweeks, and it's closer. So I'll be over here. And it's all about me, me, me. What can I get? Or how do I want to serve? As opposed to, well, when I'm in a community, that means there's expectations of me, and we're serving one another. And then I'm submitting myself to spiritual leadership in the direction that God wants to take us as a body, right? So I think it's important to understand that, because as you study the Bible with people and you're trying to help people, this is one of the things that's going to come up more and more often. This concept of being in one local congregation and investing there, it's really going out the door. I mean, it's just not there so much anymore because of the availability of getting anything we want however we want it. Yeah. The ease of it all. Look over in Romans chapter 12.
What's going on, Angel?
And I'll just preach for a few minutes, and my wife will share some things, and then we'll get some time to discuss in our small groups. Romans chapter 12. We're going to read out of the Message version. And we're going to start in verse 1. So if you have your phones, if you can go to the Message version. If you don't have your phones, just listen along, because I want you to hear it out of the Message version, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And that's what I'm talking about. There's a certain culture. There's a culture that the secular world has, and there's a culture that the religious world has. And right now, a lot of it is going like this. And so we got to make sure that we allow God to mature us and not settle for, okay, this is what's going on. I guess this is just what we do now. No, we got to go back to the Bible in verse 3. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. So he says, I have responsibilities in relation to you. Okay, and we all have responsibilities in relation to one another because we belong to one another.
Yeah.
Living then as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. That means we don't look to the culture and the people around us to define us. We look to God.
Amen.
In verse 4, in this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of His body. We find our meaning and function as part of His body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let it just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. He's talking about get your security from God.
Yeah.
You know, we can, even as Christians, we can start getting our security from what we do in the church. Our role in the church, how we serve in the church. And all of a sudden, man, maybe you're not asked to serve in that way anymore. And you feel like, I'm not needed. People don't like me. Instead of saying, okay, what are some other ways I can serve? And so we got to make sure, you know, that we are getting our security from God and being open to what He wants from us, how we're going to function in this body. In verse 6, if you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, Be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. This goes back to Sunday's message, and we talked about hashtag passion project. We talked about it with the men. Mike preached about it. What is your passion? I hope some of us were even in the last few days we got a chance to think about what is my passion? What has God put on my heart to do? When we're living out our passion, we're much more secure in God. We're much more secure in the church because we know, man, this is what God wants me to do. Amen. In verse 9, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality.
Amen.
You want to share a few things, honey?
Amen.
Yeah, my mother-in-law said this to us, and we were on the floor, just loving the message version. But I think, you know, for the women, I feel like being a part of the body, making it a priority, you know, I kind of relate it to like a buffet line, is what we start to tend to do with the Bible, where when it's like kind of convenient for us, we'll go and pick at the buffet. But, you know, I think that's where we have to really go back to that trusting in the Lord and not leaning on our own understanding. We have to remember that the heart is deceitful, because even in the example Angel gave before, we will make up all kinds of excuses as to why we're doing what we need to do. But the goal is not to pick at the scriptures and say, well, I'm doing that. I wish somebody would say I'm not doing that. Like, the goal is to be more like Jesus. Jesus walked with people. Jesus spent his days taking care of people and being with other disciples, not looking at a scripture and saying, okay, well, I'll do it in the most convenient way that I can so nobody will say I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I know it gets hard. It gets challenging. I think as women, we're tired. We have kids. They have homework. The homework they give these days is insane. The activities. Like, it's just, and then we got to cook and clean and do laundry. Single people, you know? I'm trying to paint the picture here. Single moms are doing this by themselves.
Man, come on.
But we got to be more like Jesus. You know, as far as being committed to the body, I thought about how in a job, you understand what commitment is. You understand that somebody is asking you to report to work, whatever, 8 to 5, whatever times. And you don't not show up and expect to be able to come back the next day.
Well.
Unless, or you don't have a job.
Come on, Christine.
Well.
But if you're not going to show up, you've asked like permission or you've made special arrangements. It's not like the norm for you just to not show up. And I know in the past people have said, but I get a paycheck for that. And I'm like, I'm sorry, didn't Jesus like give you an inheritance that won't spoil or fade? Like, that's way better than a paycheck that's going to run out in 2 weeks. And so I think it's like, you know, kind of getting back to the reason why we go to church. I mean, we're part of the body to worship God, to please God, to encourage that which he died for. And I think lastly, I'll just speak to that whole burnt out. Don't get burnt out. That was the Romans 12. When it comes to serving, I hear that quite often. I don't want to get burnt out. And, you know, what I notice in the Bible is that it says a lot more about like making every effort and like perseverance and get to work. Nowhere does it say, you know what, you know, you just got to make sure, you know, you're not getting burnt out. So, of course, what do I see but don't get burnt out in Romans 12? And I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on? You look at the NIV version, and it says never be lacking in zeal. And if you keep reading, it says keep yourselves fueled and aflame. So getting burnt out means you're not keeping yourself fueled and aflame with the Savior, that your direction has gone elsewhere. another, and I love how there are times where we feel like we have a lot going on. We may have been taking on too much. That's totally normal. But I love our spiritual example of that with Moses and how he had a lot on his plate. I mean, you know, millions of slaves, but he had a lot on his plate, and God sent him his father-in-law to say, what you're doing is not good. He didn't say, you don't need that role anymore. You know, we'll figure out something else for you to do. This is not working. He said, let me show you a more effective way to do the role that God has put on your heart to do. And so I think that's the thing that we want to look for when it comes to serving, is what is our passion project that God has put on our hearts? And let's trust God that he's going to help us to carry it out in the most effective way.
There's a very simple scripture when we talk about the motivation for being part of the body, belonging to one another, being part of the church, being committed to the church. We understand a lot of scriptures were mentioned already that I was going to share. Acts 2:42, be devoted to the fellowship, right? Devotion from every, they were devoted, right? And so we understand that, but why? And this is a scripture. There's just two scriptures. They say basically the same thing, but Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul is talking to the elders, I believe it was Ephesus at that time. Yep. He was saying goodbye, and he tells them in verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Acts 20:28, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Mm-hmm. Jesus bought what we have with his blood. Amen. As he didn't die for you individually. I'm sorry. He didn't. He died for us together. He did. He died for the church. He gave himself up for the church. And individually we make up the church, right?
Right. Yeah.
But it wasn't like he just died for you and he said, go do your own thing, right? Like, just so you can be saved and then you can go on. No, he died for you so you can be reborn into a new family. And Ephesians chapter 5 is another one. And there's little scriptures like this all over the Bible. Sometimes we may not catch it, but I want to make sure, you know, we talk about this scripture in the terms of marriage. But Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. And he talks about in verse 32, this profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ in the church. And so if we're trying to be like Jesus, if our goal is to be like Jesus, and he gave himself up for the church, then what should we do? If we're supposed to be like Jesus, and he gave himself up to make her holy, to cleanse her by washing her with the word, mm-hmm. right? And to present her to himself as a radiant church without blemish. What should we be doing? How are we laying down our life for the church? How are we presenting the church blameless?
Good stuff.
We're supposed to be imitating Jesus.
Come on, bro.
And so that's the motivation. I can't make things easier for you. We try a lot of things to make things easier for you, believe it or not. Let's do it on Tuesday night. You know what? Single people just don't have midweek. Go ahead and just have Bible talk. Married people, we'll do it Friday. Married people, we'll do it Sunday after church. Married people, you got kids, it's hard for you. We've tried a lot of things. The bottom line is, are you going to obey the Bible and love Jesus enough to make Jesus Lord of your time,
amen.
And your money, and your relationships, and live it out with one another? That's it. Let me ask you a quick question before we break up. How do you feel when you plan something and people don't show up?
What?
How do you feel about those people? How do you feel about those people when you plan something and they don't show up? They say, yeah. We talked about this in Mobilize last summer. How do you feel? I'm asking you, I want to know. How do you feel?
Salted.
Kavi? You don't like it. You feel offended. Okay. You feel rejected. Okay. How do you feel? How do you feel, huh? You feel lame? Like, why do you feel lame?
Like, I don't have any friends.
Feel like you don't have any friends. Like, you know what? No, ain't nobody real. You know what? I must not be important enough for them to make do on their word, right? Right? Guys, listen. This isn't just coming from leadership down. You have a reputation in this church. You have a reputation. When you're not around, it's not the leader. Yeah, the leaders we ask because we're shepherds. And we're like, man, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Did so-and-so communicate? And we understand things come up. But when you're not reliable, your own friends are like, can I really trust them? If you're not committed the same way I'm committed, then what do we really have to talk about? Now, the Bible says we got to help the weak, right? Encourage the timid, right? Warn the idle. That's what it says, warn the idle. So all I'm saying is this. The motivation has to be Jesus. But there's also an expectation of one another that we said we belong to one another, right? And so, are you your brother's keeper? Are you your sister's keeper? And here's what a lot of us are committed. We're here. I may be preaching to the choir, right? But I know there's some other times we struggle, right? Now, here's the thing. Everything we talk about these midweeks is for one of two reasons. Either one, for you to learn and to grow, or two, for you to hold your brother or sister accountable. Because it just can't be from the leadership to the people. It has to be one another relationships. It said, no, I expect you to come. I expect you to serve. I do. As your brother or sister in Christ, because that's what the Bible says. And that's the very first class we had about the Bible being our standard. Yep.
Yeah. I think too, you know, I think people are on different ends of the spectrum. There are people that have the reputation, rain, snow, sleet, or shine, they are at church. You know, we have married people. One of the kids is sick. One of the other ones is going. We got single moms bringing their kids out. Like, they, you know, we make it happen. You know, we shift schedules. We tell jobs we can't be there because we have to be at church.
Yeah.
Like, we arrange our lives so that we can prioritize meetings of the body. Then there are some of us that say, if I can, I will be there, you know, and this is why. And, you know, you kind of like feel like a little offended that somebody would even ask you. And so I think we have to, you know, it's a part of our relationships with God where we have to really pray for guidance and insight and help and repentance, you know, that this is going to be a priority. God, help me. I mean, we have watched over the years people change jobs and just the blessings come. And we've watched God bless it over and over again. But if you need help with it, tap one of the people you always see in church every time. How do you do it? Can you pray with me? Like, this is what I'm praying for about my job. What do you think about this? Like, get help for this important part of our relationships with God. And please don't be offended when other sisters ask you, you know, why weren't you at church? I mean, it's like, you know, don't go up and like, you know, just say, man, it's something I'm working on, something I'm praying about. Thanks for asking me. Thanks for missing me. Help me to work on making this a priority in my life. So.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's something somebody said earlier that I want to really walk away with is this is all a privilege. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that the Bible says the church is bought with his blood. Mm-hmm. So, coming, not just coming, but being the church, being there, serving the children, being an usher, sweeping the floor is really a privilege.
Yep.
And if you look at it that way, single ladies, if you're, the man of your dreams was inviting you on a date and wanted you to come somewhere and had something special planned for you, how would you feel?
Mm-hmm.
How would you dress? How excited would you be to get up? Would you set your clock? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that mindset, all about Jesus.
Yes.
Who's going to look for me and who's going to ask for me? You can't make it about that. That does not last lifetime.
Yeah. It's a gift. What a gift that we have.
Yeah.
What a gift. And, you know, we understand the gift more when we're invested.
Yeah.
You know, because it's one thing just to make it here. It's like, but that's not really what God expects either, right?
Yeah.
It's to be invested somehow, some way, to be involved. It means something to us. And, you know, it is such a gift to have somebody that cares enough, to have somebody that calls us, to be part of a family, to be able to experience memories together, to be able to grow up in the faith together, to have weddings together. I mean, over the last few years, it's amazing. The people have gotten married. I look at their wedding parties, and it's the people they were baptized with in college. Hey, what a blessing. Your closest friends came from the church. What a blessing it is. But what we want to have, it takes work to actually put in the work so we can actually enjoy the benefits of it. But what a gift. We should want to be here. We should be grateful to serve. A couple of basic things that I think we got to make sure we work on this year. A couple of basic things is, one, we give out a calendar. We posted that calendar on Facebook, I believe. It's on the Facebook group. If you're not in there, let us know. And if you need a physical copy, let us know as well. But we give you a calendar at the beginning of the year so you can plan your year.
Amen.
We want to be considerate of your plans. So we want to tell you, hey, this is what we have going on, so that you can plan your vacations around the church. Mm-hmm. Well, you want me to plan my vacation around the church? Yes, I said it right.
Right.
Come on, bro.
Yes.
Come on.
So you plan your vacations, the things you're trying to do, around what the church is doing, because we seek the kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. So it is very challenging when we have something on the calendar, like a retreat, for example, and people don't take it off work, or wait to the last minute, or don't have money, or waiting to the last minute. You've known all year.
Yeah.
You've known all year. Okay, so that's part of maturing that Romans 12 talked about. We gave you that calendar for a reason. Look at it, mark it down, talk to your boss. Yes, we may ask you to take a day off of work so you can be there early at the retreat.
Yes.
And why do we plan these things? So that the whole church can be edified.
Amen.
So that we can do well spiritually. So we can grow. So we can be about God's purpose for our lives.
Yeah.
Other thing is special contribution as we give. Planning and prioritizing that. Right? Making sure we know that happens every single year. Making sure we do that. And then regular meetings of the body. Like, we know we're going to be consistent in this. It's Sunday, you know, where we have church. Tuesday nights. Single people, campus people, you may have Bible talk during the week. You may have Devo that Friday. The e-board is awesome. I know they get the calendar out. And so it's planned. We try to do the best that we can. And then we ask you to be flexible as things come up. But we ask that everybody be 100% committed, whether you are doing well spiritually or you're doing weak spiritually. You can still be committed.
Come on, man.
All right? And we will grow together. So thank you guys so much for your time. And we're going to make it very simple. Acts 20:28. I'm just going to tell you that last part. That's going to be your memory scripture. Okay, that last sentence there. So we understand that Jesus gave his blood for the church. Acts 20:28. That's your memory scripture.